see why I need so many books as the lecture proceeds. Can I have a nectar of devotion? No, wrong. A nectar of instruction. The little pocketbook which we distribute. Nectar of instruction. You can put it here. Opened to text 4, please. Text 4. So, Hare Krishna. Now we are ready. Nishamya.
Nishamya.
Just after hearing.
Bhima.
Bhima. Gaditam.
Spoken by.
Draupadyaha. Of Draupadi. Cha. And. Chatubhujaha. The four-handed personality of Godhead. Alokya. Having seen. Vadanam. The face. Sakyuhu. Of his friend. Idam. This. Aha. Said. Hasan. Smiling. Eva. As if. Translation. Chaturbhuja, the four-armed one, or the personality of Godhead, after hearing the words of Bhima, Draupadi and others, saw the face of his dear friend Arjuna, and he began to speak as if smiling. Lord Shri Krishna had two arms, and why he is designated as four-armed is explained by Sridhar Swami. Both Bhima and Draupadi held opposite views about killing Ashwatthama. Oh, I should all brief you in. I think the temple devotees know exactly where we are in the Bhagavatam, but those who have joined us for this morning's lecture may ask themselves, and it's important to understand the purpose where we are. Ashwatthama had killed the five sons of Draupadi in a very mean and vicious way. He had entered the camp where they were sleeping and killed them while sleeping, and killed so many others. So Arjuna, with Krishna's help, caught this son of Dronacharya and brought him before the mother of the children, Draupadi. And there was a discussion now, what should we do with this person? So Draupadi wanted to make an end to the cycle of violence which had just happened in the war of Kurukshetra. She held this opinion, which is held by very, let me say, by very conscious people nowadays also, that you can't, you have to stop violence at one point. If you have a violent solution to something, it may be the only solution at times, but you have to be very careful, because that violent solution will breed a continued cycle of violence. And at one stage, it needs to be cut. So she said, even though my sons, the sons of the Pandavas, were killed, by this Ashwatthama, I will say, let him live. And I am asked what to do. And this, of course, was vehemently opposed by Bhima. He was the father also. I do not know who fathered them. We would have to ask Krishna Dharma. But are they from one Pandava or are they from many? We will ask him and he will explain to us everything indeed. Is he here, by the way? No? Is at work. So we will ask him later and clarify this. She said, no, let my sons go unavenged. We will not take revenge. And Bhim and others disagreed. There was a temperamental discussion while Ashwatthama was forced down. He was there on the ground, kneeling and waiting for the final resolution, which would decide would he live or would he die. So now the purport. Lord Shri Krishna had two arms. And why he is designated as four-armed is explained by Sridhar Swami. Both Bhima and Draupadi held opposite views about killing Ashwatthama. Bhima wanted him to be immediately killed, whereas Draupadi wanted to save him. We can imagine Bhima ready to kill while Draupadi is obstructing him. And in order to prevent both of them, the Lord discovered another two arms. So with two arms he held Bhima, with two arms he held Draupadi. Wake up, you're not with us at the moment. So originally, the primeval Lord Shri Krishna displays only two arms. But in his Narayan feature, he exhibits four. In his Narayan feature, he resided with his devotees in the Vaikuntha planets, while in his original Shri Krishna feature, he resides in the Krishna Loka planet, far, far above the Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky. Therefore, if Shri Krishna is called Chaturbhuja, there is no contradiction. If need be, he can display hundreds of arms. How nice. If need be, he can display hundreds of arms as he exhibited in his Vishwarupa, shown to Arjuna. Therefore, one who can display hundreds and thousands of arms can also manifest forearm whenever needed. When Arjuna was perplexed about what to do with Ashwatthama, Lord Shri Krishna, as a very dear friend of Arjuna, voluntarily took up the matter just to make a solution. And he was smiling also. Nice, Prabhupada says. And he was smiling also. So what the solution is will be explained in the next verse. And I would be unfair to the speaker of the next verse if I would give away this point, because it will be most probably his main point when he gives the next lecture. And therefore, it is a cliffhanger. You will find out tomorrow how the Lord resolves everything. Good. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Vishesha Shunyavari Paskatyare Tatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. A very endearing scene which we are hearing about here. The Lord stepped into the disagreement between his two very, very dear devotees. It was a very difficult disagreement because he was the mother of five children, grieving that her beloved sons were killed so viciously by this murderer, Ashwatthama. And there was the father, Bhima, urging for revenge. The mother said, no, we must not put the wife of Ashwatthama into the same ocean of tears in which I am presently drowning. And the father disagreed, and they were both, you know, Bhima was, as you say in English, zeroing in on Ashwatthama. He was ready to take his life, and he was competent to do so, certainly. And Draupadi was there protecting the murderer of her children. So it can't go more dramatic, actually. It was intensely emotional, surcharged atmosphere. And Lord Krishna, our transcendental Lord, is there in the midst of it. First of all, he holds everyone at bay, and for that he needs to manifest an extra set of arms. So he discovered two extra arms, Prabhupada says, so he manifested two extra arms to hold Bhima and to hold Draupadi, who was near to fainting, it is described. And then he spoke, but how did he speak? He spoke totally from the transcendental platform, totally beyond the human drama. The transcendental Lord spoke and smiled. We are aware of the smile of Krishna at many, many places in his pastime while he was in the earth. In the midst of the most difficult situation, the Lord is there smiling very sweetly and giving relief with this smile. Do you know one other event, very famous event, where there was a huge human catastrophe just at the outbreak, really, and the Lord stood there in the middle of it smiling? I think Nanda will know. The battle of Kurukshetra. Arjuna had just what we would call in psychology a major psychological breakdown. You know, he was so torn between two actions. One is to retire to the forest, and the other is to take up in his hand the Gandiva bow, that he was actually really yeah, totally, how do you say, upset. His mouth became dry. At the same time, there were tears in the eyes, this dryness and this is wetness. He was trembling, so much so that the Gandiva bow, which never ever left the grip of his hand, was actually slipping out of his hand. And he submits to Krishna and says, I don't know how I should handle in the best way this situation. Please, you become my teacher. And Krishna is totally beyond the situation, and he smiles. The Lord is transcendental. He's beyond. And anyone in any situation who takes shelter of Lord Krishna will also transcend the emotionally surcharged situation in which he finds himself, often unable to know clearly what to do. And he will, when he connects with Krishna, takes shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, he will also be able to see things with that transcendental perspective, that healthy distance. Hare Krishna. What a wonderful, wonderful scene. Another time was when Krishna spoke to Rukmini, his dear beloved wife, and he gave a various points why he was unqualified as a husband of Rukmini. And Rukmini, very, very dear wife of Krishna, was so much struck by his words. She loved him so much that his words, which seemed to say, Rukmini, I'm really not qualified. You made a mistake by marrying me. That he actually the Lord disturbed her so much that it's described. She fell down like a palm tree cut by a powerful storm. And Krishna at that time also manifested his other arms to just catch her at the right moment before she would hurt herself by falling on the ground. So, and he smiled also at that time. So Krishna's smile is known many times in his pastimes. He's known. His smile is very transcendental, very wonderful, very Krishna alike. So I will for the moment leave now the text of the Bhagavatam, but not the Bhagavatam itself, to bring a point to your attention which I feel is very, very important. I have talked about this point a little bit at the Pandavasena mentorship, but I would like to elaborate on it further. I will talk on the heart of bhakti. Please allow me to make one observation. I'm your guest, and I think guests are given special treatments, so I will press a little bit on your nerves now in a therapeutic intention. Now, I come to your temple often, not so often, once a year, twice a year. And being the person I am, you can ask O Krishna, I'm very observative, I'm looking at everything what I see, watching the intention behind the smiles with which you greet me, reading your minds beyond the polite words, which is British politeness, and I'm trying to find out where are these devotees, what is moving them, what is in their minds. And what I see is that you are very, very eager, you are very much connected with the mission, and I pay my obeisances from the 10 directions. There are 4 cardinal directions, 4 in between, and up and down. This makes 4 plus 4 plus 2, 10 directions. Wonderful. But I also feel it is necessary to speak about the other part, the part which is will give the deep devotional life to you. We are a mission-oriented movement, and therefore a lot of emphasis goes to the outgoing activities, the things which we do to attract more conditioned souls to Krishna consciousness. We are also new to bhakti, so a lot of our effort in our bhakti goes to the execution of the proper execution of the limbs of devotional service. I'm thinking of chanting, hearing, and so on. So both as mission-oriented movement, and as a movement who is with persons who are new to the concept of loving devotion, it's a very high concept, we are very much engaged with the external features of Krishna consciousness. We are externalizing a lot, and we miss sometimes the heart of bhakti. Let me explain this a little bit philosophically, because we have many devotees listening to this on who are not with us here, many older philosophically trained devotees whom I also want to address today. They will listen through the camera there, Haribol. The eye is on me. And here is another video projection which Bhavish operates at the moment with a little disagreement from other operators, I found out this morning. So another phone is coming. This seems to get interesting. And I therefore need to also address the philosophically informed amongst my audience this morning. Bhakti, as you will know from Rupa Goswami, has 2 forms. Cheshta Rupa, which means the effort, the activities, but it also has an internal form, which is Bhava Rupa Bhakti, the heart of bhakti. While Cheshta Rupa could be described as the body of bhakti, Bhava Rupa, the mood, the devotion, can be described as the heart of bhakti. A very, very famous story in our circles, and I want to stick first with known things so that I can secure the agreement of my audience and the trust of my audience, is when Lord Krishna comes to Hastinapur for peace negotiations, and he is preferring to stay at the house of Vidura, although and he's satisfied with a plate of banana peels, you know, because how was it the wife of Vidura, who was surprised when Krishna knocked at her door. She thought Krishna would go to Duryodhan and his palace, where there was a huge reception planned for the evening. But Krishna chose to come to the humble dwelling of Vidura, and there was nothing in the house. The meal where everyone went that evening was at Duryodhana's place. So Krishna said, "I'm so hungry. Can you please give me something?" And the wife, totally bewildered, Hare Krishna, Gauri Prabhu, totally bewildered and surprised, if not shocked, by Krishna's sudden and unannounced visit, rushed to the kitchen and found absolutely nothing from which she could prepare a feast, not even something to prepare a quick bite. There was nothing inside. So she came out and said, "We only have bananas, you know." Krishna said, "Give me your bananas." And she was still so nervous that she made a great mistake, and she peeled the bananas and threw away the fruit, and not noticing anything because of a cognitive failure, she brought out the plate with banana peel to Krishna. Now please study the situation. Krishna said, "I'm hungry." Please don't laugh, because it is not for laughing. Please, you will be challenged when you hear this pastime. So no young laughter, please. So then Duryodhana had prepared a big, big feast, a reception, a royal welcome. Krishna preferred to not take this. It will become very clear why. Because something was missing in this offering of Duryodhana, something which was extremely important to Krishna. But he accepted the banana peels from his dear devotee, the wife of Vidura. Amazing. Later, on the next morning, he arrived in the court of Duryodhana. Duryodhana said, "Where were you? We had prepared the welcoming and the banquet. The whole town was here." Krishna was silent at first. "Anyway," said Duryodhana, "let the negotiations start. I offer you my seat. It's the throne of Hastinapur. We will sit somewhere else." Krishna looked at Duryodhana and he said, "I do not wish you to have your offering." That throne is spiked with needles, because Duryodhana, you hate the devotees, the Pandavas. And I didn't want to have your offering of food, because you must understand, I have a body made of Sachit Ananda. I do not feel hunger. To eat, one needs to either feel hunger, or if one doesn't have hunger, there's a second possibility. The person who offers the food must have love in his heart. I think you know this when you come home and your mother is waiting for you. Gujarati mother has cooked everything in good quantities. And you just had the Sunday feast, and you are really full, but the mother is just, her eyes only say one thing, I love you, son or daughter. No? And then, what will you do? You have to eat. Because, although you're not hungry, but the love is so much pervading everything that you certainly do not want to hurt that the one who loves you so much. So you will take because the other has love. And so Krishna continues, and because I'm not hungry, the second is Duryodhana, because you don't love me, I do not want your food. When we study this a little bit in the context of Rupa Goswami's description, what is bhakti? Means it has two halves. One is the activity, and the other is the devotion, the bhava. We must agree, Duryodhana was much more better in his activity. You know, the feast was so good, it was in a palace, he was prepared, whereas he was much more better than Vidura's wife. Vidura's wife gave banana peels. Banana peels, I do not know any recipe with banana peels. I think you, maybe the Bengalis eat it, but they have a way with bananas. I think one would have to be very creative. One could maybe take a few banana peel chips as a decoration on the sundae or whatever. But he accepted the banana peels. Why? Not because of its external perfectness of the preparation. No, my dear devotees, there was what is most important for Krishna when he looks at an offering. There was the bhava, the devotion in the offering. Therefore, Lord Krishna's name famously is Bhava Grahi Janardana, the Lord who takes the devotion. He accepts the devotion. He wants the devotion. He prefers, in fact, the devotion. No? In another famous verse, which you all have heard, that is in the Gita, he mentions different items in the which he will accept. He says, I will accept a fruit, a flower, a leaf, a little water, when it's offered with bhakti, with devotion. The word bhakti appears twice, whereas the names of the items which he accepts are only appear once. It seems to be emphasized more. The devotion is over the activities. So, as we mature in devotional service, in bhakti, we have to be sure that we do not just focus on the preaching, to bring others to preaching, and we also have to focus in our own sadhana, that we do not only focus on our sadhana attendance sheet, that we are attendant with our body, but our devotion is absent. This is very important for us to watch, because and we have to make sure that we watch the growth of devotion. Best is the yearly or daily growth of devotion, because only when that devotion is growing, when that feeling for Krishna is growing, will the devotional activities, the manifestations not become hackneyed. I'm mentioning this very consciously, because as someone who travels and preaches about the holy name and gives Sangha Mela and Japa retreats, I find out many devotees struggling with the Japa. Many, Many, also older devotees and confidants, are telling me. And the reason is you cannot uphold any activity if you don't have the heart any longer in it. If the heart is not on fire with it, and if the heart is given to other things, to maybe things which you passionately pursue, which are outside there. The heart must be taken back from the outside, and it must be brought where its biological place is, in the inside of your practice. Very, very, very important, my dear devotees. I meet so many devotees, also older devotees, who do not feel the taste any longer, who are no longer inspired, and therefore, in order to survive, they have to get the pleasure from other things which are not devotion to Krishna. This is very important, to get our hearts back and to get the heart of devotion back. And of course, when we hear such an impassioned speech, we say, please cool it, Maharaj. I'm looking for something, but oh, Krishna, you know when it is you need something and you look for it and then you don't find it. I have to look for it at another time, another place. Where are we? Get back the second half of bhakti, the bhava rupa bhakti, the real form, the heart of bhakti. Now the question, of course, is, can you please tell us where to get it from? Where to get the great treasure of devotion? Where to get the great treasure of attachment for Krishna? And the answer is you can only obtain it from those who have it. Attachment resides not in external objects. You will most probably not be attached to this thermos because it looks old, it has some indents. It's not a thermos you refer to as my thermos. But you can ask Gokrishna, my assistant, when the thermos is not with us, I say, Gokrishna, where's my thermos, please? I need the water. And we've lost it a few times. Once in a train we lost it. And I drove the whole train company crazy to find my thermos afterwards. I'm the son of one of the directors. So, because I'm possessed deep attachment to this thermos, the forerunner of it went with me to Mountain Kailash. I have some emotional bonding to this thing. Attachment is never in the objects. That's my point. Attachment, I could give other, many multiple, is always residing in the hearts of people who are attached. In much the same way, attachment and love for Krishna is with his devotees. Jiva Goswami says, my heart could not be melted by thinking of Krishna. My heart could not be melted by so many sadhanas. But when I heard about the love of the devotees for Krishna, then my heart became melted. Because you have to go to those who are attached to something if you want the attachment. You have to also go to those who are attached to someone when you want the attachment to happen in your heart. I'm residing at a house where the happy new arrival of a new child is there, and the residents talk all about the antics of the child, the feeding times of the child, when it wakes up, the complexion of the child, the amount of hairs on the body of the child. It's child time in that home, happy time. For me, the child looks like every other child, but as I zero in into the feelings of my hosts, as I consider the story, how they obtained the child, wonderful story. If I consider their feelings, I think, oh, the child is maybe it's special. Maybe I don't see it right now, but I will soon see it. So this is where you get the attachment. This is a philosophical point which Patanjali means. He says, certain qualities can be obtained from those who have already developed them. He speaks especially about if you want to control your mind and your senses, you should look at the examples of those who have already controlled their mind and their senses. And as you stay with them, you develop a more improved sense and mind control in increments as you stay. This principle works also in terms of material attachments, my dear devotees. We are warned to not looking at movies. We are not aware romantic relationship between men and women is excessively portrayed. We are not encouraged not to read such books. We are even encouraged not to associate with people who are all about romantic and physical love, to the opposite sex. Because you will get that type of attachment by sangha, by associating. I was once asking myself very deeply, how do I get a hold on my desires? How do I get a hold on my attachment? They seem to come from a subconscious area which is not under my control. They lurk there in my subconsciousness, and they come out at the least opportune times. Whoop! And all of a sudden I think, oh, I'm attached to Led Zeppelin. It's still there in my mind. What was that? Then it disappears again. And I ask, where the lines of the song coming from, please? They were coming from a place which is very hard to get a grip on, the subconscious mind. No? So I was asking myself, where do I then develop these? How do I develop a desire? I have no hold, no control on this area, from where which influence desires to a major degree. And then I was in a lecture of Giriraj Maharaj, and he cleared this for me. I tried to find the quote which he quoted. It's in the Nectar of Instruction, but I will find it for you another time. And he said, desires develop in sangha, association. And he quoted Prabhupada saying, sangat sanjayati kama. You remember from the Bhagavad Gita. Kama, or lust, arises by sangha, or association with sense enjoyment. In the same way, do the positive feelings which we are speaking, the heart of bhakti or devotion arise. You have to learn to have association with devotees. Rupa Goswami says, quotes the Hari Bhakti Suddhodaya, it says, when you put a red hibiscus flower near to a crystal, all of a sudden the hibiscus, by sangha with the crystal, by association with the crystal, appears within the crystal. Boom, there's the hibiscus. So in the same way, if you are with devotees, you learn from devotees, my dear devotees, who are talking about Krishna, a devotion for Krishna. At that time, my dear devotees, in your heart there will be the appearance of bhakti. Now, I know that this is a troubled subject. I know that in our devotional association, to discuss about Krishna, everyone seems to be so shy to talk about Krishna. There's very, very minor talk about Krishna. Maybe in a lecture, but that lecture everyone forgets anyways because they hear the lecture on an empty stomach and concentration is very compromised. And anyways, everyone thinks that the subjects of the lecture are only true for that 1 hour. The rest of the life, we deal with the reality. Hare Krishna. I know, I have given multiple lectures. I've tested my audience multiple times there. Sometimes I say to them, what if Krishna really is there? Oops. Would that change your life? I mean, I'm just not saying Krishna is really there. I'm just saying, what if he is giving you shelter when you turn to him? Then problems are solved. My dear devotees, I have to come to an end of this presentation. I will make now my main point. Stay with me just for 5 more minutes. In our scriptures it says the root cause of devotion, this bhava, bhakti bhava, the root cause of bhakti or devotion to Lord Krishna is association with advanced devotees. Many of us would like to have advanced devotees around, but we attract so many young devotees always. We are a movement of wave after wave of young devotees. So we are thinking, where, how can I have that nourishing association? My dear devotees, there is a very interesting solution. Jiva Goswami describes that kirtan alone is not so effective. But more effective than kirtan alone is sankirtan, kirtan with many, because in that, then he makes his point, in that association, delightful devotional feelings are created. That's what we are looking for. We want the heart of bhakti. It is created in the association of many devotees who sing kirtans. Now, why is this so? There are 2 reasons. As we chant together, we get a little of the bhakti of others. It's in the sound, it's out there. You know, the devotees, when you look around, some close their eyes and go, they are at their level best. They turn to Krishna. Then the singer says, with your heart. You think, what does this mean? But okay, you know, and they sing. And you participate in that, somehow or other. I have seen that multiple times. I've seen even people who were on their way to their place of suicide, where they had their pistol in their pocket and they want to do this mouth shoot. They told me afterwards, it kills you. But they stayed there, and they stayed longer than intended, And afterwards they threw the pistol in the ocean. They did not do it because their level, you call it state, had changed by being in the association of devotees who were on fire, who were on devotional fire. So as you chant with many, I pick up from the person who chants his devotion, I sing the name, and it gets increased, almost as if you have many mirrors and you put a candle there. The light gets increased and the room is lit by the mirrors. That is one reason. The other reason is that Krishna himself feels attracted to the place where the kirtan, the sankirtan of the holy name goes on. And by this sangha, this association in sankirtan, in chanting the holy names with many, you also develop devotional feelings which are very, very important, which are the heart of bhakti. Run to where there are kirtans. Your mind will get restless after a few minutes because the mind will try to pull you out, say, no, Mr. Mind, I'm staying. I'm as therapy here for me. I'm staying. And you also have to stay, unfortunately. Or fortunately for you. That's one thing. Another little tip which I would like to share with you is here regularly, either lectures or see through your eyes or hear through your eyes by reading the scriptures, and try to associate with the meanings of the subjects. Discuss them with others, and you will start to see a shift in your awareness and consciousness and bhakti. Third advice, when you do your activities, before you do them, before you sit down to chant, don't chant, oh, 16 rounds, how will I do them? I'm already so tired. No, think before you do them, this is my time with Krishna. This is for Krishna. Sridhar Swami says that bhakti as opposed to karma mishra bhakti means that before an activity, you must say for Krishna. You must bring this in you. I found this out in my own activity. I'm chanting during the months of Kartik extra rounds. And sometimes, as I now get older, this huge quota which I try to fix is becoming almost, oh, how will I do this? How will I reach this? Oh, how many rounds I have now? Oh, little percentage of this. 1/4 of this. 3/4 still to go. Ooh, poor me. I have seen that this is anti-bhakti because, my dear devotees, I'm thinking of me, not Krishna. Me and my quota. And Krishna is not impressed by this. So I've shifted and say as I chant, I'm shifting and thinking, this is now, this mantra. No, I'm thinking of rounds, but you can also do it with one mantra. It's now my chance to be with Krishna. Wow! And you are there with Krishna. Then come, and when you catch this feeling, this devotional feeling of enthusiasm and bhakti, you do more rounds than you ever did before. But you do it from the inside out approach. Yeah, more needs to be said on the subject, but the time is there, and many of you will have to go to work, and others have ends in the dhotis and zaris. They are already getting restless. from with this person with a strange German accent, and so on. So I will end here, but not before saying, my dear devotees, this was not perfectly presented, I know. The English language is not my mother tongue. I may not have reached you with perfect grammar and all of this, and not good expression. And I know my expression is sometimes a little hard to digest. Yes. But please think about what I wanted to say. I only come once or twice a year to your place. I think about what I say, and I wanted to talk about something which can make all the difference in your spiritual life, which can bring you to again to look at a point you might have missed all this time. Prabhupada once said to Pramatirtha Prabhu, Krishna consciousness is so simple, you might miss it. And that is, this point is, bhakti has these two things, two halves. The effort which you put out there, both in your own sadhana as well as in your services, and then it has the other heart, the heart of bhakti. It must be with devotion. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Is that okay, what I tried to say? Well, you can't say no because you're polite people. Hare Krishna. I wish you all the best, and please think about it. Discuss this point further. Follow this point further, and something wonderful will happen to you. I will end here because time is over. All the best. Have a wonderful day in Krishna consciousness, and Hare Krishna. Hare Bol.